In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise and your servant. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice.
Because I have hoped in your word.
I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous.
And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
Let your mercy come to me that I may live.
For your law is my delight.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let your steadfast love comfort me.
According to your promise to your servant.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid, we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading for this morning is from the book of Amos, chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Kelna and see, and from there go to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is your territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence, woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Our epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons as they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed from what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you had in your lifetime received your good things, but Lazarus in like manner had bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from here to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father Abraham, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone comes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.' This is the gospel of the Lord." We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ,
his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you would please find your insert for the song, "You Are My All in All." Worthy is sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, but particularly these words. The rich man said to Abraham, "Then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." This is our text. In the name of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, the lottery has opened up a whole new game in those states which allow it to be played. It doesn't cost anything to play. And there are no winners or no losers. And how one plays that game tells a lot about what the priorities of that person might be and what is important in their life. The game is real simple. You just ask the question, what would you do if you won $20 million in the lottery? It's a good game, huh? Lots of people take a very selfish attitude towards winning. I'd quit my job. I'd buy a big boat and sail off to the South Seas and never work another day in my life. Some would want to share. I'll buy a house for my parents. They deserve it. And others even talk about sharing with God. If I won the lottery, the church would never have to worry about paying its bills again. That tithe, you know. How one plays the game tells a lot about the priorities and the values of one's life. Jesus had a lesson to teach in our gospel lesson for today. And the bottom line of that lesson was, again, what are our priorities. The parable was about two men, about how they lived their lives here on earth, and about where they would spend eternity. The first was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day, our text told us. And the other was a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, lying at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed by what fell from the rich man's table. Our text even gets very graphic in the poor situation that Lazarus was in. It tells us even the dogs came and licked his sores. That's pretty graphic. Our text tells us that both the rich man and Lazarus died. The rich man found himself suffering the torment of hell, while Lazarus was resting comfortably at the side of Father Abraham. Now, the question that has to be answered is, why? Why is the rich man in hell and Lazarus in heaven? what was so wrong with the rich man that he was condemned to eternal torment. Certainly it could not have been simply because he was rich. Remember, Father Abraham had been a very rich man in his day, and he was in heaven. Even though love of money is, as the scriptures say, the root of all evil, money in and of itself does not condemn someone to hell. We might look at the story and get the idea that maybe the rich man is in hell because he ignored the needs of the beggar Lazarus lying at his gate. But I do not believe that is true either. If he had not helped Lazarus at least a little along the way, Lazarus would have moved, or else he would have been moved by his friends to another gate at which to beg. Surely he received some help from the rich man because he stayed at the rich man's gate. So, it wasn't the money, nor was it the use of the money. Then what was it that caused the rich man to wind up in hell? Our last few paragraphs give us the answer to our question. The rich man asked Abraham, "I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." What was Moses and the prophets? The Old Testament scriptures. The first 5 books of the Bible written by Moses, and then the prophets that wrote the rest of the Old Testament. That was the word of God to the Old Testament people. But the rich man also had Moses and the prophets. And he knew that during his life, he had never listened to Moses and the prophets. He knew that during his life, he had been too busy or too important or too lazy to study or to read or to listen to Moses and the prophets. So he asked Abraham to make an exception for his brothers, so that they would not make the same mistake that he had made. He asked, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And Abraham said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This parable always reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was so busy about cleaning the house and preparing the supper, she was just too busy to listen to the gospel message that Jesus had to give. But Mary, her sister, sat at Jesus' feet and listened to every word. This gospel message of God's love in Jesus Christ, Jesus said, would not be taken away from her. Likewise, the rich man had many good things in his life, except for the one thing he really, really needed, and that was the grace and the love and the forgiveness which God offered through his message of a Messiah to come, the message given by Moses and the prophets. But on the other hand, Lazarus, during his lifetime, received many bad things. But in eternity, our text said, he is comforted. He had his hope and his trust in God alone. He had nothing else to trust. He had his hope and his trust in God alone for life, for death, and for all eternity. So what is the lesson for you and for me? What is Jesus' point in telling this lesson to you and to me? I think he is telling us very clearly that God's grace, God's love, and God's forgiveness is not going to be found in blessings of this world, but rather are going to be found only in the message of Moses and the prophets, our scriptures. According to Paul's letter to the Romans, that scripture is the power of God, the word of God, the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation. It is that word of God that is a means of grace by which God reaches out to his people, creates saving faith, strengthens that faith, and through that faith creates a holy heart that lives eternally in heaven. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is one of the two ways that God reaches out to us, through word and through the sacraments. And as he takes our hand, he leads and guides us to walk in his way now and forever. The world offers us many temptations to keep us away from God's saving word. The sinful world does not want us to know how much God loved us and cared for us and gave his only begotten Son into death for us. The sinful world does not want us to know how much God loved us and cared for us. The sinful world wants us to think that we can earn God's love with what we do. And the sinful world wants us to think that we can grow in the faith that is created and strengthened through reading and the study of that word. But that's all wrong. That is not the way to come to God. Remember the psalm? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember the words of Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Couldn't be any clearer. Miracles will not make Christians. Abraham said it in our text. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. It is the scriptures that create faith, because it is the scriptures, that word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. So, what are the priorities in your life? If your priorities are making a living, surviving, having fun, getting rest and relaxation, then you are in trouble just like the rich man was. But if your priorities include regular worship, regular study of God's word, if they include the use of the sacraments, if they include regular communication with God in prayer, then, with the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, and the love of God, you have the promise of eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. God has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a wonderful promise to those who read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's holy word and put their trust not in worldly things, but in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, now and forever. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For diligent study of God's holy word, that we might be content with his provision for us in this life. Trust in Christ and his death for us. Rejoice in his resurrection and look forward to the life to come. Let us pray to the Lord. For pastors, that God, who appoints them to this noble task, would strengthen them to be above reproach in their care for their own households and his church. Preserve them from every snare of the devil, and give them great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our households, that God would preserve us from idols and sins of idleness, and that he would bless fathers and mothers as they catechize their children to guard their hearts and rejoice in his gift. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the authorities of the nations, that the King of kings and Lord of lords would deliver them from idols of wealth and power, and strengthen them to fulfill the duties of their offices in humility and service for others. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in need of deliverance, that God, who afflicts in faithfulness and comforts in his steadfast love, would console them with his promises until he rescues them from their trouble. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our rescue from our sin, and for the food of your Lord's body and blood, that all who receive this holy supper today may be preserved from hard-heartedness, clothed in Christ's righteousness, and comforted by your gifts of life and salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For his kindness to the saints, whom God has delivered, and now comforts with eternal rest. Let us give thanks to the Lord that God would preserve us in repentance until we are carried by angels to Abraham's side. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Answer all doubt and fear, O Lord, with confidence in your word and sacrament, that all these means of grace we may be kept in holiness and guarded from temptation and despair, until the day when you bring all things to their perfect fulfillment, and we are delivered to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
and amazed at your love for me. That lonely night in Gethsemane, this sinner's heart can't help but thrill to hear you pray, Father, not my will. What depth of love, what reach of grace, oh, how my grateful heart now waits to sing it louder the refrain. Jesus died my soul to save. Atonement full applied to me by the blood spilled at Calvary, has shadowed all my sin and shame. I'm reconciled in Jesus' name. What depth of love, what reach of grace, oh, how my grateful heart now waits to sing it louder the refrain. Jesus died my soul to save. Oh, the pleasure, oh, such pain, the Father's wrath and fury laid on Christ, whose saints and angels praise. Jesus died my soul to save. Come, you broken, bound by sin, let your weary journey end. Just come and lay your burdens down, where mercy reigns and peace abound. What depth of love, what reach of grace, oh, how my
Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake, he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
preached with the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in a true faith and through life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we pray that you would bless us always and keep us in your loving hand, now and forever.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.